Tonight we want to talk about outside the box worship. Outside the box worship. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Just on a side note, if you look in the back here, we're started spreading gravel. And folks, here pretty soon, you can be parking back there. All right. And had a couple loads put in of dirt put in the one of the holes out here, so we're getting there. So please pray. I want to wrap this up before Thanksgiving. Your pastor wants to be done with this stuff, so please pray. All right. All right. Acts chapter 16, we're going to read verse 25 through verse 26. It says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Amen. What a place to worship, in the prison. Amen. So, inside the box, you have self-preservation, you have pride, you have arrogance, and you have tradition. All of these are things that keep people from worshiping. Right? Some people don't want to worship because they have self-preservation. Well, what will people think of me? Will they laugh at me? Will they think I'm weird? Right? Pride goes along with that, and you know they're too proud to worship God or thing. They have arrogance, you know, that's just not me, kind of a thing. And then a lot of tradition. It didn't happen when I was a kid, was going to church with grandma, you know. So it's just traditional things. So I find it strange sometimes that new converts may be often more outward worshipers than sometimes the established church people, members. Isn't that strange sometimes? Now, you would think that it would be the other way around. As people who have been forgiven, who have been redeemed, who have been blessed, should have more reason to worship God. We should have, you know, things that we're thinking about every day as we get up and as we're praying unto the Lord, and we want to thank you, God, for your blessings on my life, and thank you, God, for I'm not what I used to be, and all these kind of things. But you would think that that's how established saints of God would be thinking. But sometimes some things happen when people sit in church. Someone who has just been baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost does not usually have these problems, as they have no walls. The world that we live in, folks, does not worship God. You very seldom see anybody worship God, and when we do, sometimes we get excited. Oh, are you a Christian? Or if you hear somebody say, "Thank the Lord," that just makes your ears perk up, doesn't it? But, you know, a lot of people don't. And they don't care. And there's, you know, today as you, you're around people that, you know, years ago you would see people be respectful of Christians or at least respectful of, you know, pastors or reverends or priests. But today they don't care. That's the world we live in. They don't worship God. And they unashamedly worship people. People in the world today worship football and basketball and baseball and hockey teams. They worship NASCAR drivers. They worship boxers, movie stars, musicians. They worship all kinds of things. Today, people fill stadiums with tens of thousands of people who yell and scream to the top of their lungs to cheer for their favorite team. They cheer them on and on and on. But when it comes to church, when it comes to God, these same people become silent. They become timid about their lifting their voice in worship to God. They seem ashamed for some reason to worship God. They talk to their friends about anything. They talk to their friends about, did you see the ball game last night? Did you see that one play that took place? It was so awesome. Come on, you're around the cooler at the workplace and they're talking about the game. They talk about TV shows. Did you see this one movie? Did you see this show? It's awesome. They talk about concerts and just so many different things. And they have been to the different things, that the concerts they've been to and different shows and different things like that. But when it comes to Jesus, they get too embarrassed to talk about. Exodus 34, verse 14 says, For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. See, words like excitement, words like enthusiasm, exhilaration, animation, thrill, are words that usually describe the latest sport event or concert or whatever it may be, but seldom do they describe the most recent worship service in many churches. Think about it, folks. You ever go to work and say, we had an awesome service last night? No. Why is that? What is it that inhibits us? What is it that keeps us from entering into worship? In Acts chapter 16, we're going to read verse 16 through 26. It says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded it to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Folks, let me tell you something today. You don't have a clue, or you don't know who your worship will set free. You see, folks, one of the reasons why the devil wants to intimidate us and to get us not to worship God, because he knows what worship can do in your life. And sometimes we get so frustrated with problems and things that come in our lives, when oftentimes those things could be eradicated if we learn how to worship God properly. If we worship God the way he wants us to worship him. Here are two men who were beaten and were wrongly accused of things and thrown into the inner prisons. Now, listen, this is not your modern-day prisons, folks. These prisons were known for being water running through them and rats and all these bugs and all these kind of things in these. And they were beaten, but they were put in stocks and bonds. And they began to worship God. And God, because of their worship, intervened in their situation. So we don't know. And that's why it's so important when we come to church. Not only can God intervene in your situations, but God can intervene in somebody else's situation because of worship. There are people who come here bound up by their afflictions of their life, and they need to hear Paul and Silas worship. They need to know that deliverance is available to them. Paul and Silas took their praise, they took their worship outside of the box, amen? They understood the box, they were tied to the box, they were chained to the box. Their box was built to contain them. Their box was designed to keep them in. But their praises and their worship took them outside of the box, amen? Now, I don't know what labels are on the walls of your box today. But you need to know that you don't have to keep your worship inside the box. Amen? Understand something, folks. God loves the praise of his people. Why would we not give him praise? Why would we not worship him? Amen? What would keep us from worshiping God? Is he not worthy of praise? He's worthy. Then what makes us just want to stand sometime and do the very least that we can do to worship God? I don't know what labels are on your box, but God does. And God just says, get outside of the box. I don't care what's labeled all over. Get outside of the box. Understand something. God loves your praise. God loves to be worshipped. Psalms 22 verse 3 says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. So here's the reason Paul and Silas were able to break out of a Roman jail. Come on, folks. If God can break them out of a Roman jail, God can break you out of anything. Amen? God broke them out of the jail because of their praise and worship. Their God could not be constrained. Amen? He is a God who is bigger than their salvation. He is stronger than any enemy who sought to destroy Paul and Silas. You see, the scripture tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. So that little Roman jail was not big enough or strong enough to hold him in once they started praising God. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Little bitty jail cell, we got a great big God. Amen. Little bitty box, we got a great big God. Hallelujah. Little bitty situation, we got a great big God. Come on, folks. You got a problem here tonight? You got a situation you want God to take care of? I'm telling you, we need to worship him. We need to praise him. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Your situation is not nearly as big as the God that we worship around here. Come on. Paul and Silas, they found out that praise and worship has the tendency to release you from whatever it is that the enemy is built around you, and that it is intended to keep you from experiencing God's delivering power. I talked a few weeks ago about David. And how David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. Anybody here remember how he did it? Pardon me? Worship. came back with worship. He put the ephod on, did he not? And he worshiped the Lord, went six paces and sacrificed unto God. He did it with worship. He brought the presence of God back to Jerusalem with worship. Amen. He did it with shouts of praise. Amen. He did it with dancing. He didn't care. David didn't care what other people thought of him. You know, people can say that a lot. Well, I don't care what people think about me. Why don't you worship God? Well, peer pressure is something that keeps people from worshiping God, doesn't it? David didn't care. David didn't care what his relatives thought. He laid down his robes of royalty, and he went to praising and worshiping God that he served. Hallelujah. His God was bigger than any other people's expectations of the king. His God was more worthy of demonstrative praise than what a few others thought of him. His praise, David's praise, went outside of the box. Amen? He went outside of the box. His worship left the confines of tradition, amen, and other people's expectations. His worship went beyond that. We're too intimidated what others think. And the only thing that mattered to David was whether or not God was pleased with his worship. That's all that mattered to him. Folks, why do we let other things matter to us? Come on. I think there's a lot of things that are going on in the lives of the people in this church right now. But if we could learn to worship and praise God like he wants us to worship, amen, those things will be gone. Hallelujah. God will bust open the jail cells. He'll take off the stocks and bonds. Come on. See, David, the only thing that mattered to David was whether or not his God was pleased with the worship. Even David's wife could not constrain his outburst of praise. Even his wife couldn't do it. And we know how effective that is in people's lives. Well, whatever she said. David said, I don't care what she says. I'm worshiping God. Amen? You see, a church that has out-of-the-box worship is an exciting church. I said a church that has outside-of-the-box worship is an exciting church. Come on. You know what else? It's a fun church. It's a church that has more than a musical performance. It's a church where the Spirit of God can move and minister to people long before the sermon, long before the altar call. It's a church where people walk away saying, that was good church. There was a missionary to Russia, and he once said that the people in the underground churches would have to sit on their hands so that they would not clap their hands during service. If they were caught worshiping God in the service, they would be taken out and shot. So, they would sit on their hands because they knew that when the presence of God came into that room, they would not be able to contain their worship, even at the threat of death. I wonder, is there anyone here today who has decided that whatever the cost, I am going to worship God? I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I don't care if anybody laughs at me. I'm going to worship God. Can we worship him right now? Come on, let's worship the Lord. God, you're so awesome. God, you're great. You're mighty, Lord. We praise you tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Whatever people think of me, my praise will not stay in the box. Hallelujah. Even if people are going to talk about me when I leave here, I come to worship the one who delivered me from my sins.
I ask you, is there any Davids here today? Is there any Paul and Silas's here? Is there someone here who would give God more praise than they gave the Cavaliers when they won the championship? I don't know about you folks, but I believe the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords deserves a whole lot more praise than the last basketball championship, than the last Super Bowl, amen, than the last World Series, or whatever it is. He deserves more praise than that. He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. You see, he went to Calvary, and he paid a price for my sins and your sins. And for that reason alone, he alone deserves my worship. He alone deserves my praise. Hallelujah. Outside of the box, worship does not just happen in church. Come on. It does not happen just at church. It happens all week long. Hallelujah. It happens in our hearts when we wake up on Monday morning. Amen. It's a song on our lips when we go through our day. Hallelujah. It's the prayer that we pray as we drive to work in our job. It's an attitude towards our commitment to our areas of involvement. It's a witness to other people. It's our love for each other. You see, when you have an outside-of-the-box worship and praise, people are going to see you differently. Do your neighbors know you're a Christian? Do your coworkers know you're a Christian? Come on. Young people, your friends at school know you're a Christian? Is it just because you told them you go to church, or is it just because they see your outside-of-the-box praise? Well, your family members. Do the people around you want what you have? That's the way we should live our life, so that people want what you have. They watch you intently, and they see Jesus Christ. There's a Bible study that has, what's the Bible study they used to do? Exploring God's Word. They had one picture in there, and I loved it. Somebody standing, looking in the mirror, and the reflection is Jesus Christ. That's what people should see in us. Amen? We are the body of Christ. Amen? You should have people saying, how come you're always happy? Why do you smile so much? You're at work. Why are you smiling? You know, you can smile at work. You know, because you're trying to sell a product. Right? You go to work not only to make a living, but you go to work to be a witness. That's your mission field. Do people there want to come to your church? If I go up and talk to him and say, hey, would you like to go to Sister Denora's church? Oh, I ain't going to her church. She's a crab. She yells all the time. She cusses. No, I'm just kidding. Come on. Do your neighbors, if I could talk to your neighbors, what would they say about you? I hear them yelling and screaming over there all the time. I say hi to them. They never smile at me. Come on, folks, think about it. I try to carry on a conversation with my neighbors whenever I see them. I don't always get it out of them, but I try. I got these one neighbors, they walk by my house, and I say hi to them, and they just carry to stare and walk away. They won't even look at me. But you know what? Whenever I see them, I keep saying, hey, how you doing? Because I want them to see Jesus. I want to have an open door someday. Come on. What about your children? Do they want your God? Or are they saying, I can't wait till I turn 18, leave this place. I'm never going to that church again. Talk about outside of the box worship, folks. It's not just when we're at church. It's when we're at home. It's when we're at work. It's when we're at the grocery store. Come on. It's when that person beats you into the line. There's, you know, there's 15 registered, only three are open, and there's lines down the aisles. And you're going to, I'm going to get there real quick. Somebody cuts in front of you. I had that spot, you jerk. Come on. We know how we get sometimes. We have to be that witness. We're worshiping God in our actions. In everything we do, we're praising Him and worshiping Him. Just think about it. If you would have been nice to them, here, go ahead. And then they get talking to you as they're waiting in that long line. We know what we're talking about, right? Sister Renee, you know that Walmart has them long lines, 25 registers and three open. I love Sister Renee. I go in that store and I see her. She just brightens up. People tell her, there's your pastor. But, you know, you never know what you could be talking to somebody about. And they may need just to talk to you. Maybe that's why they got there just in time. The Lord said, hey, you're going to Walmart today. I'm going to send somebody there. Can you witness to them? Come on. Now listen, we know what's coming up here. Can you believe next week is Thanksgiving, and then there's that greatest time of the year that somebody told me about. Sister Renee, I think she put her tree up in July. She would if she could, probably. I read somewhere that those people that do that are happier people. Yeah, that's what I heard. But think about it, folks. We're going to be in those lines. I don't go. I send my wife. I promise you, hey, honey, if you like it, I like it. I literally despise stores. I do. Yeah. So let's stand. But let's worship God outside of here. Let's worship Him. Let's seek Him, amen, and praise Him. And always remember, I have to be a light to this world. Amen. We don't want to be the kind of light that everybody's like, oh, I don't want to. We want to be a light that says, thank you for your guidance. You're leading me to Jesus. They ain't going to say that to you. But it's awesome when people say, it's amazing how sometimes you never hear anything out of people, and all of a sudden when they got a problem, can you pray for me? Well, you want me to pray for you? I know you. I know you're a Christian. That's what you want. You want people to watch your life. I've been watching you. And we've all probably, hopefully you've experienced that at least once in your life. But that's what we need to be. And you know, I want to look at people. I've said sometimes when my wife occasionally drags me out to the mall, I like to sit down sometimes, just watch people go by. Just watch how people act. And sometimes as I'm sitting there, I well up and say, God, I have a job to do. We need to reach these people. Amen? We need to reach them. Lord, I just ask you right now tonight, God, to touch each one of us here. And I pray, God, that you just move in every one of our hearts and help us, Lord, as we leave here, be more determined than ever to be a worshiper, Lord God, a praiser. Hallelujah, Lord, that we will just lift you up everywhere we go. Hallelujah, Lord, I just pray that you'll be a blessing in every life, God. And Lord, I pray that you'll use each one. And wherever they find themselves at, Lord, that you can be used. Use this vessel for your glory. We give you the praise and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.